Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
Life is full of personal wins, whether it's cleaning your house, getting that dream car, or checking off your to-do list. Winning at life is a great feeling. And with the State Farm Personal Price Plan, you can keep winning when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling home and auto. So give yourself a round of applause. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with a personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 398. I'm doing a handful of stand-ups soon. I'm actually coming to Tennessee. I'm performing at Middle Tennessee State in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, which is huge to me because I used to go play chess tournaments there when I was in grade school. Never did I thought I'd get to come back and tell jokes in Murfreesboro, which is just outside of Nashville. So I don't know what the situation is, if you have to be a student or whatnot. But anyway, that is Wednesday, August 28th in the evening at Murphy Center on the campus of Middle Tennessee State University. And then I'm also going to be at Cobb's in San Francisco September 11, 12, 13, and 14. So that's where I will be in September. And again, sorry I had to cancel the date at Acme in Minneapolis. I can't travel back on the same day that we do a live television show like Talking Bad because I'm not allowed to. So there you go. So I can't do that. So I apologize. But if you go to nerdist.com/calendar, not only will you go to nerdist.com on your way and see all the fun stuff, we're actually doing a lot more editorial stuff on the site now, but you will also see nerdist.com/calendar has live dates that are coming up. So come out and say hello. I'll come out afterwards and say hi, and you can hug me or tell me to fuck myself, but no punching. No punching? I have a no-punching rule at my shows. That's really more of a guideline than a rule. What's that from? That's right, it's from Ghostbusters. Well done, Katie. Well done. I would like to thank for sponsoring this episode of the Nerdist Podcast, Carbonite. Carbonite is online backup. Your entire life is on your computer. You were probably listening to this on your computer, possibly. Imagine if you lost this podcast. I guess it'd be okay if you lost this podcast. You could just go re-download it. But you can't go re-download all of the documents in your hard drive. You can't re-download all those love letters that you wrote to our friend Danica McKellar when you were a kid. You can't get those back. You're going to lose them. So you have to back up your stuff. And Carbonite.com is the best way to do that. It just does it automatically. And if you lose your files, you just go to Carbonite and get them. They live at Carbonite. And then you can reinstall all of your files on your computer when horrible, horrible digital tragedy strikes. Plans start at $59 a year. If you go to Carbonite.com, you're going to get an offer code Nerdist. They're going to give you 2 bonus months with purchase. That's Carbonite.com. And use the offer code Nerdist for 2 bonus months. This episode is Brie Larson, who is hilarious. I met her. We did a couple Doug Loves movies together. And you perhaps know her from Scott Pilgrim or United States of Tara. But she's a terrific actress and really fucking funny. So she has a movie in theaters on August 23rd called Short Term 12. And again, this Katie, you have a mic over there, right?
Yes. That was really loud.
Do you know how to use it?
Yeah.
It's sort of yes. like having Brie on sort of felt like a hostful in a weird way.
Yeah,
sort of.
She just fit right in.
We've had a string of those lately where someone just kind of plops in nicely and it sort of feels like in an alternate universe this is just a hostful.
Yeah, definitely.
So you agree?
Yes.
Are you listening to anything I'm saying?
Yes. Everything. Every word.
I've poisoned you and the antidote is somewhere in this store.
Yes.
Okay. Here is the Nerdist Podcast number 398 with Brie Larson.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
We're talking about, I was talking about, she was talking about comics, cool. And I was talking about Deadpool.
What are you playing?
I'm playing Animal Crossing, and I had to save my town. Real fast.
How, why is that the most, I mean, I was, that's a game that.
Are you recording, Kate?
Oh.
Good. Keep going, yeah, good.
That's a game that my sister and I were so obsessed with, much like, I guess, the Tamagotchi, but it still blows my mind because it's just life. Like, you think about it, I think about it now, it's like, I get so into it again, and I'm like, gotta get those bells, I gotta remodel my house, I gotta get the, I was really into the backyard furniture, I wanted the flamingo and the AstroTurf and the whole thing, and now I'm like, I actually have a house payment. I actually have a car payment.
It's not as fun, though.
I know, but why? Why because, is it that I'm like, person, I gotta go to nooks and crannies, like, and I want the store to get bigger?
Because the person who sold you your house does not have a puppy face. That's why it's not as fun.
You don't know who her real estate agent was.
No, I guess that's true.
Could have been Puppy Face McGee.
I guess that's true. It was not Puppy Face McGee. But,
it wasn't Puppy Face.
But I actually...
Number one in the valley.
My girlfriend and I just had to network really fast because I had to get a painting so that I could open the second floor of the museum.
See, and that's the whole thing.
You got to donate a painting.
But that's the thing. You got to do it. And I was so dedicated to donating those fossils, too. I was like, yeah, I know I can make a lot of money for my T-Rex head. But
it's better,
you know,
for
what?
The culture.
It's better, yeah. We got to bring culture to this place. I want my neighbors to stay. It's so sad when you lose track and, you know, your real life gets busy and next thing you come back and, like, you know, the alligator that you loved is gone. There's nothing.
Such a metaphor for life. Yeah. There's one piece of shit that I can't get to move because her house is blocking where I need to put a bridge. And Isabel will not let me put a bridge there because she's like, there's a house too close. I'm like, I know, the kangaroo won't move. I've dug holes around her property. I put pitfall seeds in front of her door trying
she's
to piss
nothing.
Her off. She is unbreakable. I cannot get her to leave.
Can you build a new house for her?
No, you can't build houses.
Oh, okay.
You're not in control of them, much like life. You cannot. Yeah. You can suggest things, but you
in
can't
life,
make
you,
them actually
you can build
doing
a house.
I reported her for using profanity, but it didn't do anything. They just said, Isabel just said,
I
I'll
wonder
talk
if you
to her.
Posted something on like the town message board if you said, hey, kangaroo, can you get out of here?
Fuck you and your baby that you're carrying around in your pouch. For being adorable, you're still in the way of this bridge that I want to build.
I mean, that was like, I think I was, I mean, I must have been in elementary school or junior high when that game first came out for the GameCube.
Yeah.
And it was like, we would race to finish our homework in time for whoever was going to get there first, you know. And then, like, forget about actually trick-or-treating, because trick-or-treating was happening in Animal Crossing, and I, like, had to get the trophy for whatever the hell. And we had, like, the book, the cheap book, and, like, oh, today's the fishing tournament.
Yes.
You know, all of these great things.
Well,
great ways to get lost in another reality.
There's a guy just offered to build a comedy club in my town, Club LOL, so I'm very excited about that. And then I actually found out, you know how you can go to the island? Have you been to the island?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so the little guy, Cap'n, who takes you to the island, apparently he is based on a Japanese mythological legend of a creature called a kappa who looks very much like that. And the kappas...
are building the comedy club.
No,
LOL.
No, it is the opposite. Kappas are basically these little demon creatures that that turn your body inside out through your asshole. They rip you inside out through your butt. And that's the character that Cap'n is based on.
Oh, Nintendo.
It is. And then have you had him where he'll sing the song and then he'll halfway through he'll make a comment to you?
Yeah.
Has he farted on your boat trip?
No,
yet?
I've never had that.
He farted on mine last night. All of a sudden there was just a whoop, and then he goes, guess I better batten down the poop deck. And I was like, what the fuck is this game doing to me?
Did
that
you
was
ever
just advice sure, to you so he couldn't you, rip you
I'm sure
out.
You've woken up at some point and not had a face. That's the scary thing.
What do you mean?
If you don't save, maybe now the newer versions, they don't have this, but there was this weird thing that happened to my sister where one day she woke up and didn't have a face. Just a blank face. And we're like, what the heck is going on? Turns out, you don't save properly. How they punish you is they take away your face.
you literally
for like
lose 24 face.
24 hours.
You literally lose face.
Yes, you have
oh,
no
Japan.
Face. It's so weird.
Does anyone comment on it? What happened to your face?
I think the neighbors do say things. I mean, this is years ago.
Remember
happened,
how you used to
but
have
I just
a
remember
face?
We thought it was just...
Japan's the best at punishment.
But punishment that's not like, we're going to stone you with rocks, but we're going to...
No,
it's deep psychological torture.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
We're going to take away your
it's
face.
It's tough. It was tough that day, not having a face.
Was she bumping into things?
No, I mean, because you're still controlling with the joystick, you know. Yeah. It's not like suddenly.
Not like your face is literally removed.
No, but.
Not like my sister's face wasn't
taken off. Nintendo sends a team of surgeons in the night.
That's how.
An anesthesiologist.
That's how immersive the game is.
I had no idea.
But you can have days where you have bad luck where every few steps you trip and fall on your face. So that's mm-hmm. why I thought maybe that they would incorporate
that.
Or
you that shake in the wrong tree and that beehive comes down and you know zaps you in the
you know,
eye.
You know how you get around that?
Net.
You open your gates.
You open your gates.
You open your gate, and the bees won't come, because bees will not come when other people are in your town. Just a little cheat there, a little Animal Crossing
interesting.
Tip.
Interesting. I didn't know about that one. Yeah. I just knew the net. You know, you just quickly equip the net, and you just go. Whoosh.
What did you think we were going to talk about today? Did you, in your wildest dreams, go today?
Well, it's first of all,
Animal Crossing.
Let me just say thanks for joining us on Animal Crossing Nerdist Podcast. Now let's start the real podcast.
Oh yeah.
No, this is great. I want to swap tips and tricks. Are you playing now?
I don't have it on the 3DS.
What are you waiting for?
I know.
It's
I didn't so get
good.
That one. I was really, really into Mario Tennis. I beat the whole thing. And then it was like, of course, I have to beat it with 3 stars. Like, I can't just.
Sure.
And Mario Kart. I got really into it. Because Mario Kart's interesting because you get in your own weird bubble with it where you think that you're really good until you start connecting online and you realize that you are terrible.
Yeah, because there are some people who play
they
from the second
humans.
They wake up until...
What the hell is going on?
Well, they're...
How are their cars so much faster than mine? Like, how are they doing this? Like,
they got
I don't...
time.
They got time?
Yeah.
They know those tracks.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so frustrating. Yeah.
You either don't have a job because you're underage and in school... Or
you have a job because you're on disability.
Or you have the kind of job where... Because
you tweaked your back at Staples.
You have the kind of job where you can just play through your job all day.
Wouldn't that be great? That's kind of my job.
Sort of. Well,
yeah, I mean, that's how I got really good at Mario Tennis was at work. And those off hours when you're just waiting around.
Acting to me seems so... Like, I love the idea of hosting a show because you get in, you do it, and then you're done and you leave. And... Acting always drives me crazy because you're like, well, my call time's 8. I may not work until 4, but they just like, it's almost like they like to imprison you just to know that they own you for the day.
Yeah, yeah.
Just in case.
They just like you to be there.
Yeah.
They just want, like, and you start to make jokes about that too. It's like, they just like me having me here. It's just like nice to have my energy in the room or
like
in my little.
Like Animal Crossing.
Just like it. They want to keep you there.
Like, just like displaying a whale shark in your home.
Yeah.
They want to display you.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You got a big house.
It's actually not that big. I mean, you
well,
can...
Well,
yeah, how many remodels have you done, do you think, on this game?
On the house?
Yeah, do you got a two-story house? You
I
got
have
a basement?
I have a two-story house. I have 2 side rooms and a basement.
Cool.
And now I'm working on expanding those.
You paint the outside of it and stuff,
did not
too?
Paint the outside yet, but I did get this... Stop looking at me like that. I got the storybook facade, all right? I got the fucking storybook facade with the candy fence.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I know it's awesome.
That is really awesome.
Storybook and candy equal awesome.
I'm looking at you like you used to look at me when I would talk about Kitchen Nightmares.
See? And then I watch Kitchen Nightmares. Oh.
Sebastian's?
No. Chloe watched Sebastian's. I just watched, it was a barbecue one, J-Dubs or G-Dubs or something.
Oh, over by Notre Dame?
I can't remember.
In South Dakota?
What is this Kitchen Nightmares?
It's a Gordon Ramsay show on Fox.
Oh, of course.
Where he goes in and...
He's just cursing the whole
kitchens.
Time. He's just
I thought it was going to
be... It's a remodeling show with him?
Well,
it's not
no,
even
no,
about
no,
food
no,
anymore.
No. I mean, they do remodel
the
restaurant, but they do remodel the restaurant, but he does, he gets in there and really fixes the problems.
I was opposed to the idea of it until I watched a couple episodes, and you really do get invested, because he goes in and he really tries to help people, and these people, it's, a lot of the times, it's so obvious what the problems are, but they're like, I don't know. I guess we need a change. And they're literally just like picking hamburger meat out of the trash can and throwing it on the grill. They're like, I guess we need to put in more effort.
I don't understand what I'm doing wrong.
Yeah, but it was one where he turned the
restaurant. You just described Golden Corral.
He turned the restaurant around, and then they ran out of the burgers he had prepared, so they went back to the packaged meat.
Yeah.
And
well, that was on that was not the relaunch night. That was when they had the specials, that menu.
Yeah, but one customer was crying because her food wasn't right. That seemed a little weird to me.
She cried because her order wasn't
right? Have you ever cried because your order wasn't right?
You know what? I have to be honest with you. There was one time I cried at Baja Fresh because...
Why did Baja Fresh make you cry?
You know what? To be honest, I had some other personal things.
I'm going
to
go out on a limb and say you're not the only person that's cried at a Baja Fresh.
Particularly Baja Fresh because... Particularly when Baja Fresh cried because Chipotle perfected the model.
I cried because I ordered a cheese enchilada and I was having a tough time. Yeah, sure. I was having a bad day and I really wanted just some melted cheese and sauce, and then they put a bunch of lettuce on top of it, and I cried. And I still, it took years for me to live it down because my friends every time were like, remember that time when you cried over the
but
lettuce?
Really,
on your
it was
enchilada?
Indicative of the fact that you were getting lettuce that you didn't want on the relationship that you just got out
You're
of.
You're absolutely right. Right. I mean, it was a metaphor, really.
Yeah.
But it was like, I didn't, when do you ever put lettuce on an enchilada? I've never experienced that.
You don't
that.
Do it.
But it never happens.
Let me put things in perspective for you. At least you woke up with a face that day.
You remember to say.
It was a swollen face. Yeah. But I had a face.
You were stung by relationship
bees.
I
was stung by relationship
when you
bees.
Shook the tree.
I didn't get my net in time. I did not equip the net in time. I accidentally pressed the wrong button and I threw a bag of money at it and it was not good.
You know, you were waiting 3 days for the fruit to respawn on your trees because non-native fruits are worth 500 bells.
I know. And,
500 bells.
500 bells.
Jesus.
Yeah. I'm a billionaire, bitch.
What is
I got
your,
2
what,
million
yeah, what
bells.
Is, wow. Yeah. That's amazing.
I know. I catch a
You're
lot of exotic I catch a lot
you
of
You don't put it in
bucks.
The bank? You just keep
I do
them?
Put it in the bank, but it's all
Wait,
for remodeling and public works projects.
Did you sell your company to Legendary in the game?
I sold Nerdist for 2 million bells. It seemed like a good
it's
deal.
It's a good idea. It's like Bitcoin. It's
any
new
public
Bitcoin.
Works I want. Like, I just nice. Put in a dream suite. Great.
Building a bridge.
Right there. I can't because that fucking bitch won't move.
Oh my gosh. His life is in shambles.
Go back to Australia.
So beautiful.
Kangaroo.
Right. Yeah.
What is your native fruit? Are you like
but
an apple
they're
person?
Pears.
They're
pears? But I've been planting apples and lychees and
oh wow
and
do you understand any of this?
A little bit.
Okay.
It's probably best if you don't.
She's
understand.
She's heard the word apple.
Yeah, sure.
And lychee.
Yeah.
I don't know if she understands.
But it's hard to understand that it's in a not real world and we're like these weird little animal things. And
it's so good though. Oh, you can go to a place where other people who are networked, like you can look at their homes and buy shit from their homes.
Oh yeah, it's amazing. And I also have the We Speak, and so it was very exciting because, you know, it was a big moment when I moved out of my parents' house. But it was like great news. My gift was a We Speak, so that Animal Crossing was still connected.
Oh,
with my sister.
Oh, that's so great. Sweet.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
so sweet.
What, thank
is your,
you,
what does your sister do?
She's in college now. She's studying to be a teacher, a math teacher.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She's really smart.
It's a noble profession.
I know.
It really is.
I know.
And here we are talking about bells.
She would still, I mean, she could.
Well, yeah, she woke up with her
on.
Face off one day.
Yeah, she could go on about that as well. That's, I mean, video games have always been a really big. I grew up with the very first Nintendo. I've never not had a Nintendo in my house.
Well, that's good. You had good parents.
Do you still have the old Nintendo?
I do.
Oh.
I do.
What was your favorite
and
game?
And I've slowly had, well, the first game, there was two games that we had that were my favorite. It was the Little Mermaid, and which I never was able to get past the second level because I was 3 years old. And there was a volleyball game that has, I want to write a song that is like based, it samples the, it was like a California, like, ultimate volleyball game. And the guys wore these little Speedos and you boop, 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 run around and smack this.
Were you on the beach?
Yeah.
So were there waves crashing with that 8-bit
beautiful,
wave crash sound?
Beautiful, beautiful, yeah.
This
and they just
like
had,
static.
Like,
yeah.
kind of like Barbie in a Corvette driving down, you know, the 8-bit road kind of music.
I want to go down the 8-bit
so
road.
Good.
You know, our friend Brent Weinbach does a podcast for us that's all 8-bit video game music.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so we...
Because you thought it couldn't get niche enough, the Legacy Music Hour came along.
But that stuff is so... I mean, that volleyball game, I don't even know the name of it, but the song, it gets stuck in my head all the time. Or I'll hear a song on the radio and be like, that reminds me of... Oh, that's so embarrassing, you know? Like, oh, that's a weird reference to have, but... It's
have you ever
childhood.
Tried to look up like clips of it on YouTube?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Because I tried to sample good. It one time in a song. I was like, "This is my inspiration."
If you go into Bree's room, there's just a bunch of like Sharpie drawings all over the walls of like the game mechanics and the volleyball
magazine
and
cutouts
yeah, I mean, pretty
with
close.
Yarn drawn
yeah.
lines.
Yeah, it's like Dark City.
Wait, you guys have been in my office? That's weird.
Yeah, yeah.
I really knew like, it. Prism, you guys are tapped in.
We like to.
You
get
guys
to know
are
our
seeing
guests.
My Skype videos.
Yes, we. Like
that's
to
where
get
they're
to
going.
Know you better
God
before
damn
you
it, Microsoft.
Come in.
The N in NSA stands for Nerdist. So.
God damn
we
it.
We've seen all your schedules.
And we have a lot to discuss.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Were you always, you always were into games, but it sounds like you like to play a lot of sports games, too, because you like tennis and volleyball.
I did, but I mean, I'm not even, I never, my double thumb sort of situation never really developed. I was always Nintendo. Mm-hmm. So I tried for a while to get into Xbox. Like, I got the Xbox 360 when it came out, thinking I was going to be really, you know, hardcore gamer. I thought in my head I was, and then I could not play Halo. I could not do it. I don't understand how to move myself and move my head in the direction that it needs to go in. It's just too much for me. Yeah. So I just stick to the Nintendo.
So your characters just, like, spin their heads.
I couldn't do it. I don't understand how to do both at the same time. I'm not good at it. It stops there. I'm like an 80-year-old who can't text, but with these double joystick things. But
in my day, thumb controllers only had one.
We just mashed the A button and then pressed up, and that made you do a big move.
Even 80-year-olds were like 50 when cell phones came out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah. I guess that's true.
So no excuse.
Was you've been acting since you were a child.
Mm-hmm.
Was there ever anything else you wanted to do? Or was it? Did it just...
Yeah, there's a million things I wanted to do. I didn't want to be an actor. I mean, I wanted to. There's like that weird pull towards it, but I still like question myself. Like, I'm an intelligent person. Why? Like, why would I choose to do such a weird job that is so filled with vanity and like mindless weird things? Like, why did I choose that of all things? So, because I've had that question, I've quit many times. I've gone back to school many times. Somehow fallen back into it many times because it's what
I... a seductive lady.
Well, you're good at it, too. I mean, good at it. It's kind of fun to do something that you're good at.
It is. It's always great. That's why I don't play Xbox because I'm not good at it. I just end up throwing it out the window, you know?
Do you ever worry... on that idea of there's a lot of weirdness, there's a lot of mindlessness, there's a lot of kooky people. Do you ever worry... Sometimes I worry, like, am I looking around thinking everyone else is kooky, but actually I'm the kooky? Like,
yeah, the whole time.
Is it sort of the Sixth Sense thing? Oh, I'm the one who's actually crazy.
Yeah.
And a ghost.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Well, I mean, I'm fine with that, though. I feel like I'm definitely have an interesting, a unique outlook on everything. Because I am my own person.
Well, it's weird because this, you know, I mean, we're very much, you know, we're very, very much like socially Darwinian. And so whatever the environment fosters, I think we just grow in that direction.
Yeah, that's why you don't go to certain places and you don't, like, I just have certain rules for myself of just, like, you don't go, like, the sun goes down and I really just don't go out.
You don't go below 8th Street.
You just don't do it. You don't go there. It's a waste of time, at least in my mind. Like and it's just a preference. Like my boyfriend has a big projector on the wall and it's got Wii hooked up to it and we can watch movies there. And I love the silent movie theater and I have a membership to that and it's free. You know, I'm also cheap. So
Cinefamily.org.
Oh, my favorite.
They're the best.
They're the best. So it just depends on how you like to spend your time. I don't find that my brain is happy in those types of situations. I don't enjoy going to a Hollywood party.
I can't. I feel so uncomfortable. And then also, because I don't drink, everyone else is really fucking drunk. And then
I have the same thing. I don't drink either. Okay. And it's the same thing. And where you're like, wow, everyone thinks you guys all think you're so clever. But
I'm that way. But when people are eating carbs, I'm like, you motherfucker.
Here the carbs come out.
I just want to eat the
well,
bread.
There's always a certain point. Like, you can go early and then. After like about an hour and a half, 2 hours, you start noticing like...
It turns.
All right, everyone's kind of dipping down. These conversations don't mean anything anymore.
You left the Pacific Rim premiere party later than I did.
I did, actually.
I was impressed by.
Well, because we were talking to Adam Savage for a long time.
Yeah, even after that, though. Because I walked out when Adam walked out.
Yeah, it was fun, though.
I was like, where's Chris?
It can be fun. Yeah. It doesn't mean that it's always bad. But...
If there are good people there, mm-hmm. then it's great. And that was the reason that I probably wouldn't have stayed at a party just to be like, no, hey, honey, let's hang out. Let's just hang out.
I'm just loving it.
I've never said those words.
I'm feeling really good tonight. I've not said those words in 10 years.
Hey, honey, let's just fucking hang out. Let's just hang out.
No way.
Let's see who shows up. Like, I'm not, you know, there was great dessert there. The food was fantastic. I know. and it was that part was really fun. They had a bunch of Jaeger suits out.
Yeah, that was cool.
It was neat.
You should see Pacific Rim if you haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen it.
Well, it's fun. It. to fight monsters, we created monsters.
Yeah.
So okay,
giant
cool.
robots punch giant monsters.
Oh, that's great.
Right. That's all you want, right?
Yeah, that's all we
and
ever wanted.
And that's what they deliver.
What kind of movies do you like in general? If you go to the silent movie theater, do you like foreign films, silent movies?
I like, yeah. I just nodded and then realized that no one will know what I mean.
They'll feel it. I just felt the air
yeah,
move.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, I like mostly foreign and older films. I mean, that's kind of the beauty of the silent movie theater, I think, is they also get these 35 millimeter prints. Like, I'm so excited to see Aventura, the Antonioni film, tomorrow because it's in 35 millimeter. Like, that's the kind of stuff. I have friends that are going to see Fruitvale, which I will go see because I think that's going to be a fantastic film. But I had to say, like, sorry, I can't go because seeing Antonioni on 35 is a really important experience for me, which is embarrassing. But, you know, that's the stuff that I like. I mean, I love in the New Beverly as well. Like, they have such great taste, and you're watching like the big influences. Those are the films that I feel like that's film school. Like, those two theaters in LA are, if you want to know what good film is, you can just drop in on any given time. And it's you're learning things. I mean, it's also weird off the cuff stuff that you might not necessarily love. It might not be like, wow, I really understood the plot of that. It was just, you know, someone nailing a door to a wall, and then you watch the progression of the door over 20 years, which I did watch. That was a short film. It's like a really long. There's things like that. You're like, wow, it's just like someone really spent a lot of time spending 30 years shooting an empty room and how.
Oh, they literally shot it in real time. They shot it over 30 years.
Yeah. There's things like that where you go, well, I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. It was not, I don't know what the plot
that
was.
Took work. Listen, I love those YouTube videos where it's like, here's my daughter from birth to age 10. I took a photo every day.
Every day.
And then you watch it
for
over 4 minutes.
This is my beard growing.
Yeah. Here, I took it up. Hey, here it goes. Yeah. Way, it's fun.
Woo-hoo.
I mean, it is. It definitely takes work and planning, and that's special. But what's your emotional way into it? Like, when you're watching, so you're going to see this movie tomorrow night. What is it about the movie where you're like, yeah, I really gotta...
Well, Antonioni is really an important director to me in particular. I just think that he's a painter, so his color is so fantastic, and every frame it's a portrait. And he went to the extent of Red Desert was like the first film I saw in the theater, and it was just so mind-blowingly, like, it just smacks you in the face with how beautiful it is. And he painted the trees. He painted, because it was all through the eyes of a woman, a neurotic woman, kind of losing her mind. And so at that time, there wasn't what was available was you paint the trees. Like, you don't have the ability to do anything otherwise. And so most things are done in camera, and it's so fascinating to watch because it just looks incredible. These palettes are just so incredible. And he's very interested in the universal experience, the metaphor, and so I love foreign film because you kind of, it makes you focus sometimes much more on the image, and you have to be really present and watch it, because I have a hard time like watching movies sometimes because I get ideas in my head. I'll watch, someone will say something, and then I'll think, and the next thing I know, it's like I went and saw The Thing for the first time at The Egyptian, and I made the mistake of bringing a notebook, and I ended up writing, and then the movie was over, and everyone's like, oh my God, that was amazing. I was like, what did the thing look like? Like, so what was that? Like, I had no idea.
Because
I completely,
about?
I was like, the next day I looked at them, I was like, really? Like, they're like, Bree, learn how to roller skate. You're like, really? That's like that's the things that I'm thinking, oh, I can't forget. You
did
know?
You learn how to roller skate?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, at least you followed through on it.
Oh, I followed through.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
the notes are for a reason. But I'm like an obsessive note taker. I have like index cards and post-it notes everywhere. That's why, and I have string diagrams. I've actually spent the time doing that. I have like maps with strings and everything. That's why I thought, oh, you really are in my office. You know me.
It's weird. It's all in Chris's.
It's really, really weird.
Was the last note in the book
Watch the movie.
Yeah.
Maybe you should rewatch this movie.
Maybe you should rewatch. Can you guys roll that again?
Well, that's the problem is there's so many movies I've seen, and there's a lot that I mean I could really get into, and then there's a few that I'm like, yes, I definitely sat there. I looked at the screen the whole time, but I was not watching it at all.
So it's obviously, how do you focus? Do you have problems focusing your brain?
I don't have like a real focus problem. I think I want to make movies. So I get inspired by something and then I start going on these tangents in my head about things and I start writing. And then next thing I know, a while has gone by. I just, you know, get lost in thought because I want to write. I like writing.
Do you want to direct or just write?
I want to do both. More than acting. A Nintendo.
Hey, volleyball. But I think that's fine to say. I don't think that's weird. It's good. I mean, it's not, you know, I don't know. This is the idea of like, I'm going to act forever. Sounds like, well, really?
It seems exhausting to me.
It seems kind of tiring. I mean, maybe not if you're the kind of person that goes, oh, in each stage of my life, I'll get this whole new palette of characters I can play with.
You can't expect that. No, that's true.
Then you get the same palette.
It's true.
Over and over again.
Yeah. But you just can't expect that there's always going to be the role that fulfills you in some way. Because that's what it is for me. I mean, at this point in my life, I have no interest, really, actually, in my whole life, I have no interest in taking jobs so that I can make money or so that people can see my face more. That doesn't make any sense.
The opposite of Nicolas Cage?
Yes, I am. Oh, God.
We have found Nega Nicolas Cage.
That's amazing. So if I keep going in this direction, do I counterbalance him? Does he no longer exist if I keep doing that?
I think you have to keep him alive.
He will always exist.
There has to be pain for there to be happiness.
You have to have both. I see.
We need you both to continue.
We have to both carry on.
Because you're making cultural impacts in different ways.
Wow. Look at us go.
You guys are part of what scientists call the brief cage, which is that you're inexorably bound together
forever,
and you one cannot exist without the other. The good news is you're both immortal. The bad news is that you're both immortal.
Yeah, you see forever together, forever
Together, forever. So you can't.
No.
And it's sort of like the plot of Hancock. If you get too near each other, you start to deteriorate. I don't know why I brought that up. I think that movie still bums me out.
Hancock.
It started off so great.
Yeah.
He's been mad about this for years.
Yeah, I feel like that happened a long time ago.
I know it did, but isn't there a movie where you're like, fuck,
Man of Steel.
It had been so perfect.
It hurt here when I coughed.
It's going to hurt a lot more.
When I coughed.
I haven't seen it yet.
It was so close. And it's worth seeing, definitely. And the sequel
looks like a Terrence Malick film to me. It's like if Terrence Malick did a Superman. At least that's what the trailer shows itself to be. No,
it's a little. I think the third act is.
So where you come from, S stands for.
Right.
Sucky ish.
Where I come from, S stands for so close.
So close.
It didn't have to be an S word. It's not an S. It was just a
yeah,
symbol.
You're right.
Right. But I was.
I liked it.
I was using alliteration.
Where I come from, this is a symbol for Nicolas Cage.
Oh, my God. I wish that movie got made.
Remember when he almost was Superman?
I sure do.
Wow.
You didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
They almost did a Superman movie in the...
Who's going to direct that?
Early...
Tim Burton was going to direct it.
Oh, really? That would have been cool.
They had a script. They went through costume phases. They had storyboards. They were like...
Late 90s. Yeah. Late 90s.
John Schnapp is doing a documentary on it right now.
They're reenacting as if it was that time.
Well, that's part of the documentary, but the documentary is like, what happened to this unseen Superman movie that was so close to happening?
Did they shoot? They didn't shoot anything.
They didn't shoot anything.
Was there test footage?
They did costume tests.
Oh.
It's like Lost in La Mancha.
Yeah.
Oh man, that is another one where you're like so close,
so close.
You a Terry Gilliam fan?
Yeah,
must be.
Mm-hmm.
He always seems like, oh, he's gonna come back. Oh, he's not coming back.
No, he's not gonna do it. Well, he did, what is it? Parsnippity, lickety.
Yeah, yeah. Parnassus.
Parnassus, yep.
Yeah, the Dr. Parnassus.
Dr. Parnassus in the Imaginarium.
In
the Imaginarium of Mr. Popper's Penguins in the series of unfortunate events.
Yes, and
which Chris always refers to as Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
It's a bunch of kooky names all mashed up together with faces that you know. Are you planning on, do you know what the first thing is going to be that you're going to do?
Directing?
Yeah.
Kind of. I wrote and directed, I did a short film. The first thing that I wrote and directed, I did with my two best girlfriends like 2 years ago. And, I don't really understand how all of this happened, but it was just as simple as me walking into a friend's house and her saying, like, hey, do you think if someone dies from text messaging, that's funny? And I said, I don't do think that's kind of funny. And so we wrote this short. We wrote this, like, 8-page short, and we decided, like, well, we've never shot anything, but all of us don't really want to spend the rest of our lives, like, being actors. It's just not – you're so helpless to everything else that's happening, you know? It's, like, it's the most – it's so interesting because the acting is usually the thing that ends up being the heart of the film. It's the thing that is the driving force along with this plot.
It's last on the list.
And it's, like, so seen as, like, the least important thing in a lot of ways. And so it's a constant frustration. So anyway, we shot this thing and it ended up just being like friends and family in it. We thought, oh, we'll just each put in, we'll split it three ways. And it ended up being $500, which I think $459 of it were breakfast burritos because I had no idea that buying meals for 12 people was that expensive. Really adds up. I know now not to have that many kids.
That's where you learn.
Don't have that many kids.
Don't have 12 kids.
Don't do it. I don't, unless you want to get a TLC show, don't do it.
I do.
You do.
That'll
work out great.
All right.
So this short that we did, which was just kind of like a run and gun sort of thing, ended up getting into Sundance and then winning a jury prize, which was just absolutely mind-blowing because two of the girls weren't even old enough. I was 21, but the other two were 20, and we weren't even old enough to get into the award ceremony because you had to be 21. So I think we were the youngest people to being part of the Sundance Film Festival and then winning. I think we ended up being the youngest as well. And so it kind of kicked this off of like, oh, I guess I'm not just screwing around. I guess I can actually do this, and why not? Like, isn't it amazing how digital cameras work? And
it's nothing like a Sundance jury prize to really let you know
that maybe you're doing the right thing. Well, you just don't know. Like, I don't think that you can watch movies. I've watched so many movies, and I could tell you my opinions on all of them. But do I know how to do it? I don't know. You don't know until you actually do it, you know? So that kind of kicked it off. And then now I did another short that premiered at South by Southwest, which I now has inspired this web series that I'm writing. And then there's a script that I'm in talks to direct that I didn't write, but I really love it.
Well, tell us, what are the names of the two, what are the names of the Sundance film and then the South by Southwest one?
The short that was at Sundance is called The Arm, and the South by Southwest short is called Waiting, but it's spelled W-E-I-G-H-T-I-N-G.
Waiting, okay,
yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Awesome. And then this other one, you probably can't say what...
I can't say what the other one is because, I mean, it's nothing is set in stone or whatever.
No wonder you're so good at Douglas movies because you watch a lot
of... Not that good. I usually just pass because I'm so out of the loop most of the time with what's contemporary, like what's in contemporary cinema. I mean, I'm in the game, like I can play the game, but I won one time and I don't think I ever really answered a question. I think I just passed.
until everyone else
fell
out.
Yeah, I think so.
That's all right. You can win by default.
I think so. I mean, I know a lot, but like my film knowledge is so niche that unless you wanted to do, you know, if you wanted to talk about a French New Wave film and if you want to talk about, you know, those types of things, a Cassavetes film, I mean, I could knock everyone out. But then, you know, Mike Lee films. But nothing, I'm so stuck in, like, you know, if they did films of the Criterion Collection, I'd be like, oh, me, you know, I know everyone. I know, but I know number 57. I know exactly which one
but
that
not,
is.
But not, like, Valentine's Day films from the last five
years. No, I have no idea.
Yeah.
That's the last time I played, I got out from a film that was in theaters, and it was The Rise of the Guardians. It's, like, the big Christmas movie. And I have no idea.
I mean, it was the big marketing budget.
That's what I mean. It was everywhere. That movie was everywhere. And they named the names of it, and I'm like, oh, no idea. No idea. I couldn't tell you. I don't even know what's in theaters now, except for Fruitvale.
Which, you know, Fruitvale...
Which comes out today, right?
It's
It comes out today.
It had like a 91% on Rotten Tomatoes, like 91%.
It's supposed to be amazing.
Seems like, you know,
what
such
I love,
a bummer.
What I love about...
I'm sure it's also hopeful.
What I love about just the making of that movie is that, you know, when you're watching a young Octavia Spencer sass Peter Parker in the original Spider-Man when he's trying to enter the wrestling match... You're like, not only she's going to win an Oscar, and she's going to produce, like, supposedly one of the best movies of the year.
Oh, she produced it as well?
I believe she did.
Oh, that's interesting.
That director, he's 26, 26, I think.
Forrest Whitaker, too? Is that? Am I screwing that up? I think he also was a producer.
Was he really?
I think Octavia Spencer's in it as well.
That's awesome. Yeah. She's great.
I want to see it. Michael B. Jordan is a revelation.
Michael B. Jordan's very good.
Mm-hmm.
Did you
everything I've seen?
That, I was emailed the like
you were emailed the press release.
Yeah, the press release. I was like, oh wow, he's a revelation. I gotta go see it.
And then that could be your thing from now on. It's like Bree's really cool, but she always speaks in press releases. It's really bizarre. This, yeah. You know, I saw this movie. It was a triumph.
Why did you? It was a tour de force.
It was a. No one refers to that in conversation.
Dazzling. Let me say, Julia Stiles is dazzling in this year's.
From the guys that brought you the Wedding Crashers.
Oh yeah.
From the producers of. ..
I love that.
That was the and they attributed it to Entertainment Weekly and they put that on the poster from the producers of the.
I wish they just put real people. Like it was just like who is that person? I don't know. I don't know who Bob Robertson Simpsons is.
Can we put a moratorium on the based on a true story tag that people put on movies that clearly are not really based
on
true
not?
Stories?
It could be a true story to somebody. What if you made a movie that was fiction and someone was like, hey, that's my life.
But if you saw like
it's great news. We can say it's a true story.
But if you see like a silly found footage horror movie, they're like, based on a true story. Like, no. It's not based on any kind of true story.
Like Blair Witch Project when it was supposed to be that whole... Sorry, that sounded weird because I was about to burp.
That's all right.
There I go.
did you get it out?
I did.
Was it good? Was it satisfying?
It wasn't that good.
I'm sorry.
I'm trying to keep that stuff down to one a day, but recently I don't know what the deal is. I think because I'm all weird and jet lagged. I've just...
Where have you been?
I was in India for 2 months and like 10 days or something like that.
Were you working or did you just go
to India? I was doing a musical there. I know. It was really cool. I did that and then I got back, I guess, 3 weeks ago or ish. But I was only home for a couple of days and then went to Maui for a week and then was home for a couple of days and then went to New York. And then I've been home for a couple of days and then I'm going back to New York. So I'm like this great combination of... exhausted and not tired at all and starved and
yeah, your body's tired but your brain's buzzing
full. Yeah, I'm just all over the place. I have no idea what's going on.
So you've gotten over the curry burps from India?
Yeah, no deli belly. Okay, I never had deli belly.
I didn't know
that's what they call it. It's so weird. It's like my mom used to say that to me. If I'm like, I'm so tired. And she's like, is it Delhi Belly? Mom, I'm in Kerala. I'm not in Delhi. And that's actually not a term that people say. And some people just get sick. Just because I'm sick in India doesn't mean it's from India. It's probably because I'm working 20 hours a day.
No, chances are it's
no,
from
it's probably,
India.
It's got to be from the spices.
You ate something.
Still. It's got to be from the spices still.
No, these people are eating. It's fine.
I think I'm probably... the most immune person now, though, after that experience.
What was India like for two months?
It was amazing. It's really, I mean, it's so much. It's really a complicated thing to talk about because it's a very complicated place. It's just everything that we know, it's the exact opposite of that. And
so it is America's Nicolas Cage.
It's America's Nicolas Cage.
Brie Larson to Nicolas Cage is America to India. Right.
Yeah, they just do... There's no addresses, there's no street names, everything is local. You don't, if it doesn't grow naturally in India, it's not there. So I was tripping out when I got home. I was like, God, yards and people have like flowers that are decorative. Like that just wouldn't survive there. Everything is like, it's just the pit of survival there. I ended up finding a 2-week-old puppy that was thrown into the street that I ended up taking care of and now is in Los Angeles with my other dog. And it's a fascinating thing because I had a Papillon who is his lineage is he's French royalty. They were made and bred to be painted. I mean, they're dogs that are just these beautiful decorative things like sit on a velvet rug and they are he's very, very smart.
Trophy dogs.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Trophy dogs. And then now on the other opposite end of the spectrum, I have a dog that is like pretty much a wolf and is like the epitome of evolution and has survived and survived and survived. I mean, that dog will survive all of us. Like, that dog is amazing.
All right. So here we go. Disney animated film. One dog voiced by Ian McKellen. The other dog voiced by Jack Black.
Oh, I love it.
And it's just the two of them.
They
come from different sides
of the world.
Continental tracks.
Yeah.
And they're just trying. But then ultimately they find out that.
And they're roommates. They gotta live together.
And then ultimately they find out.
Come on. You didn't do the dishes this time.
I'm a dog. We don't do dishes. We'll stop shitting on the rug.
Why are you always playing poker, Felix?
Hey, and their dogs play poker. It's perfect.
Yep. All works out, Chris.
See, this is a billion-dollar idea.
I don't know why we're still talking here and not going off and making this
movie.
Yeah,
we got to get out of here, you
guys. Get Pixar on the phone. Can you get me Keith Pixar on the phone?
If only we knew someone that was kind of an executive at Legendary Pictures.
Oh, it's too bad he's only in Animal Crossing.
Oh, shit! Dude, I'm going to produce shit out of this in Animal Crossing.
That would be amazing.
We're going to screen it up against the side of City Hall.
I'm going to be the head of the Weinstein Company in Animal Crossing.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it'd be so great.
I'm gonna be Duck Weinstein. Like, I'm gonna be the duck.
It'd be so good.
Yeah, I gotta stop this. I made an 8-bit, because you can design, you make your own designs. Mm-hmm. I made the town flag is an 8-bit TARDIS that I made, and then I built roads in the town that's basically the Pac-Man grid because it's 8-bit. So I built like. So it's all the dots, and every once in a while you see a power pellet, and then Pac-Man, and then a blue ghost, and then a red ghost.
The time that you've put into this.
Well, because I'm on planes a lot.
Yeah.
So this is...
Right, so there's no other time. You couldn't possibly read,
see?
You know.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you did actually do this.
Yeah, and because it's 8-bit, it looks actually, I built it pixel for pixel. I also built Galaga.
So do you know anything about like what's happening in the news, or do you have any thoughts on...
Yeah. I do. As a matter of fact, Amelia's going to move out of the town. And then we're also...
Of course, the most contemporary.
Yeah, I've just put a gyroid to take collections for a town street lamp, so way up on the news.
Oh, okay, good. You got it. You're keeping up to date on the message board on there.
Also, the fortune teller is in town for the day, so it's
great.
big news.
It's a big day.
Big news in town.
You're going to have 100 bells and save the clock tower?
I am going to save the clock tower in Animal Crossing Back to the Future.
Yeah,
wow.
That's great.
So it's been it's sort of a turbulent time, but you know, I've come in at a politically charged time as town mayor. My town of Robocli is
in a lot of ways, it's
Robocli because I tried to make my town Roboclit and couldn't fit the T on. No, actually, that's not what happened.
I thought it was because of broccoli, like robot broccolini or something.
Oh, robot broccoli is Robocli.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fucking genius.
There you go.
That's way better. I was just making a pussy joke. I basically,
a town can't be founded on that sort of joke.
You've not been to Vegas.
You're also living in Los Angeles.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
So it was, I tried to make it Roboclit and it wouldn't let me. It was like, you can't use that word. It told me no, and so then I used Greek letters to try to make it.
Of course, the Japanese have a contingency plan for Roboclit. Of course they do,
because they make them.
Of course they do.
The Japanese make Roboclits, but it was too much space. So then it just said Roboclit, and then Chloe was like, just call it Robocli, and I'm like, all right,
that makes sense.
That was my town. My town is Robocli. Yep.
It's nice. It's got a nice ring to it. It sounds like a vegetable.
It does. Sounds like a genetically engineered
in
strain
season
of broccoli.
At the farmer's market. So today at our farm-to-table restaurant...
Excuse me.
Are you enjoying your mason jars? So today we have a local lemonade with cashew butter and...
How fresh are your Roboclits?
Wait, why would you put cashew butter in the lemonade?
Because it's farm-to-table.
Farm-to-table, so it has to suck.
Farm is a very generous word. Outback, there's an area.
It's a farm. Everything that we've got is from the farm.
There's an Outback Steakhouse behind you.
Yes.
We call that our farm.
We go get butter from them.
We do like shrimp on the barbie. We also have this delicious brown bread that's warm.
We've got some dog butter that I really... good.
We grow all our lettuce on the roof.
There must be, of course, there are places like that.
I've been told that at a restaurant before. I'm like, I don't think that's a perk. I'm not excited that you're growing lettuce on your roof.
Actually, I think those are called third world countries.
No, it's called Williamsburg.
It is Williamsburg.
It is Williamsburg. Yeah.
Well, no, some people do it out of necessity. Other people do it because they think it's cool. Which is different.
Or, you know, they're just trying to be self-sufficient.
Like, tarring your roof is, like, so bad for the environment, so you just, like, throw some soil up there. That's what it's for. It catches the water.
Oh, my God, it's perfect.
It's a circle of life.
What the fuck are we doing, guys? Let's get up on the roof.
No! I just want to pay things to be done.
Yeah.
Sounds like the mayor of Robocli's here.
sorry, guys. I did opt for the wealth ordinance in the town.
Which is what? You
which
tax
means
people 500 bells?
There's no taxing, but it's just that...
Well, your society's wrong.
The things that I sell are worth 20% more. All the prices go up, basically.
What?
Everyone makes more... You make
so
more money.
Built-in inflation.
I've built-in
built
inflation.
Inflation in Animal Crossing.
Yeah, that's right.
Trickle down.
It's working. I have 2 million bells. That's all I'm saying.
It's working.
Wow, but it's all relative to everybody else, isn't it?
I guess it is ultimately relative
to
everybody else.
Yeah, you just like to see the big number bigger.
Yeah.
So if 100 bells like a actually was the same as 2 million bells, it doesn't matter. You just
It makes me feel like a big man to have a million bells.
Who do you think has the most bells?
I don't know. There
I wonder
are,
what the amount is of the most
I guarantee
bells.
You there's some 9-year-old who's got like 50 million bells. I mean, I have no idea.
It's probably a billionaire out there.
A billionaire.
I said that, yeah, before. A billionaire. Yeah. I'm a billionaire.
A billionaire.
You cannot move rocks in the town, though, which sucks. And you can't get residents to move. But other than that, the game's great. Mm. They're just random rocks all over town. You can't move them.
It's a nice color too. It's purple.
I got a purple one.
Royal purple.
It is a purple 3DS.
You chose that color.
I did. Actually, I got a black one, and then I went back and got the purple one.
I've only played it at like fancy.
Not yet.
Yeah, I
yeah,
really
only,
want that.
I played it at E3. That was the extent of playing it.
Did you
I'm
like it?
So into it.
No,
you didn't like it.
Didn't enjoy it.
How come?
Because I found it sometimes curious to be holding what is essentially.
The big...
A 3.5-pound iPad.
Right.
Up.
So it didn't excite you to know that you didn't have to pause your game if you needed to go to the bathroom, that you could just...
Didn't excite me that much, no.
That's interesting.
Is it just me who has to say the name of that system like it's a music sting from a 60s horror movie? Wii U!
Oh, that's cool.
Wii U!
Yep, it's just you.
I can't be the only one.
I love it. I wish that they would have... I mean, why didn't they just have the 3DS, though, be that controller?
I don't know.
How would they
like, wouldn't
money?
That have... It's true. Mm. But that would have been amazing to me if, like, everything linked up together.
They've got a baseball team to pay for.
Let's make it happen. Let's design our own. I tried to change the town song, but it wouldn't let me go into flats and sharps.
And this is what Chris Hardwick was like in high school, everyone.
Oh, no. No, there was a lot more isolation and...
Sure.
There wouldn't be other people
but
here.
But when you get a chance to talk to someone, you're showing them your awesome Atari collection.
Do you want to hear a story that's very similar to that?
Yeah.
Sure.
This is really fun, comfortable, and embarrassing. I went... occasionally, I would get invited to parties, and then it would become very apparent... Seriously. Honestly, people would say, like, how did you get invited? And so there was one thing that I went to, which is a gathering of people. I was convinced.
It's called a party, Chris.
I don't understand. There was this
gathering of.
There was this loose human cluster.
Yeah,
who,
people
were
drinking.
Some of them
were
facing each other.
It's a party. It's a party.
Some were like, talking. I wasn't talking.
There
but
was some
the
sort
other
of
people
a.
Were...
Yeah, it's a party.
There was some sort of communal food, sugar trough.
Yep.
So I was convinced that everyone would think. That a scene from the Transformers animated film was as awesome as I thought it was, which is, of course, the scene where a newly reconstructed Megatron, renamed Galvatron, basically disintegrates Starscream, which in the Transformers world was a very big deal.
It was a very big deal.
That was a very big deal.
Yeah, it's emotional.
I mean, that's almost like, that would almost be like in The Walking Dead if Rick just turned and shot Daryl in the face. Like, so It was a very big deal, but
I've
it
never
was
watched
really
it, so I have no,
it
I have
was
no
really cool.
Connection.
So it's like when Spock died.
Well, you sound like everyone at the party. So I was like, dude, you guys got to see this. And then I think at the point where I was like, they didn't catch it. I'll play it again.
How did you show it to them?
On a VCR.
On his iPad.
He was from the future.
Did you bring the VHS with you?
Yeah, I had it with me.
Crazy.
I carried all sorts of stuff around that I didn't need. This was in my act. Like video, like Atari cartridges.
No, I knew you were carrying around Atari cartridges, but I was not aware that you would have the VHS.
I brought it because I thought, oh, everyone's going to think this is as awesome as I think it is.
So this is the thing you had to queue up to this point?
That's the problem.
No,
is that, okay,
you had it queued up.
Pro tip, always have it queued up to the right place because then you're like, oh, wait. Oh, hang on.
You did your build up and then you got to follow through. You don't have the time.
Oh, went too far and then I got
to
go back.
Yeah, and then they see it maybe and then, oh, no.
Did you, yeah?
Pacing and editing is not just important in film. It's important in life.
Yeah. I know. I learned valuable lessons that day. Like, I shouldn't have friends. But how were you when you were...
Andy doesn't.
When you were growing up... Well, I do now. It's just more of
like
I work all the time.
Alligators.
They're giraffe people and alligator people.
on the Pac-Man road.
Making me give him new catchphrases.
It's fucking ridiculous. Maybe that kangaroo was at that party. That's why she's not moving.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's possible. Mm-hmm. Did you go to regular school or did you go to actor school?
Space school?
I didn't go to actor school or space school.
Damn.
Although maybe I did in my mind. I was homeschooled.
Okay.
I went to elementary school, but then after that, I came home crying for like a day and a half, and then was like, no, I can't do it.
You just discussed trying to finish your homework to play the GameCube.
Yeah, I mean, you
had homework at home school?
Yeah.
Why don't you just call it work?
Well, I think that when Animal Crossing came out, I was in school.
Okay.
I think I was still in elementary school maybe when that came out. So that is a true story.
Well, no, I was just wondering if like you guys were like, now you have your allotted time of schooling.
Matt was toying with the syntax of you're already at home. So
legitimate question. Yeah. This is a legitimate question.
Everything is homework for you, Brie.
Right. Like they don't call Japanese food in Japan.
It's just food.
Right.
Just food.
Just food.
Homework at home is
but
just
here's,
work.
Here's
but
my
yet
question.
Eggplant is an eggplant.
It's a plant.
But we don't call it potato plant. We just call it a potato.
Yeah, that's right. Our
it's
culture
so weird.
Is bullshit.
Grapefruit. It's so weird. Grapefruit, but we don't call it.
You're confusing me.
But there's a grape that's also a fruit. But we don't call that grapefruit. You get me?
Our culture's... Yo, I feel you, dog.
You get me, man?
I feel you.
And
did
that's
my
why
nose
everything's
just start bleeding?
Really screwed up right now.
Dude, this shit's really strong.
The government is trying to confuse us by calling things grapefruit and grapefruit.
They're listening to you. That's why I wear tinfoil hats all the time.
Yeah.
They are.
That's why I don't wear a tinfoil hat.
They're onto us, and the NSA has, like, the grapefruit alarm because someone has started to question that. And that somehow
that's
it's like the Matrix.
Assuming that they're paying attention to us.
It's the one backdoor thing where if you question the grapefruit, it unravels the Matrix
it's the
somehow.
Whole thing.
And so
it's
they
the
have to.
No, they're like, onto us. They know the project.
No, there's one schlubby agent.
The grapefruit's been peeled.
No, there's one schlubby agent in a dusty door that says grapefruit department.
Oh, no.
Whoa. And, like, when someone finally does it, he gets really excited and then trips.
You see, Miss Larson, you are a disease, and we are the cure.
It's weird
that
to see.
That is a really good Priscilla Queen of the Desert.
It's another Hugo Weaving movie. Well done. It's really weird to see Hugo Weaving doing Agent Smith in this weird.
Oh, those commercials?
What are those for? It's a technology commercial.
I don't know. I'm into it, though.
You
like that. Is it a GE commercial?
But you know what bums me out about it? Is what it says to me is like, Hugo Weaving's a fucking great actor and he's not working right now. And
right.
Why is he not working right now?
Yeah, it's like
because
with
he's
Gary
a fucking
Coleman
great actor.
Check
pretty sure he's working
commercial.
Right now.
Yeah, the Gary Coleman and Hugo Weaving, exactly the same.
When
Hugo Weaving was on Different Strokes.
Hello, Mr. Drummond.
Oh, no.
He doesn't always talk like that.
No, I know, but that he's Australian. I just like to give him the Agent Smith voice because it's the one that I.
He's Australian.
He's Australian,
yes.
Isn't he? He's Australian.
Is he Australian or is he New Zealand?
To the internet. He might be Kiwi.
I feel like
the commercials for GE.
Yeah, right. That's what I said. GE also did the awesome robot commercial. Remember that one?
Nigeria.
Okay, well, good for him. He's very cultured.
He's clearly Nigerian.
Huh.
All right.
But remember that robot commercial GE did with where like Kit was driving towards it, and then like Johnny Five, and then like Data beamed down.
No,
you didn't see that.
How did I miss that?
Like all of the awesome robots from your childhood, like show up to like the artificial intelligence.
I wouldn't say that Kit is a robot. He's a sentient car.
Right. Fuck you.
Are you gonna? I will be commenting on this.
Lives in Australia. Thank you, Katie.
All right. Fuck you. There's nothing like a well-placed fuck you to just end an argument.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Kit.
Well, but the thing is, fuck you.
Remember when Kit was like, when Michael put him in that 57 Chevy while they were waiting for that Pontiac Banshee to get finished in Knight Rider 2000, the made-for-TV movie?
I did not watch Knight Rider 2000.
Well, you missed out.
I missed nothing.
Knight Rider 2000 was made in, I think, 96, I want to say, and James Doohan, Scotty from Star Trek, played himself at an ATM. And Kit says that he was the star of all 18 Star Trek movies.
Wow.
Because they had
you
to, like, they had to like, predict
the,
future.
Oh, they had to predict the future.
Yeah, I taped it off the television.
Oh, so you,
you
were queuing that one up.
Yeah, but I didn't bring it to parties.
Oh. But you brought it to gatherings.
Oh, dude. When Matt Myra can...
Why is that the threshold?
The Myra threshold. We're below the Myra shelf in our cultural sediment. I've fallen below the Myra shelf, which was a period between 92 and 99. That's
best years of our lives.
So you were homeschooled. Were you a popular kid at school?
I was the most popular kid at school.
But also technically the most unpopular.
Yes. I was the best student and the worst.
Did you not have a prom or anything, or did you go to another prom?
I did not have a prom. I went to, my sister took me to her winter formal when she was in high school, and I was very shocked to discover that it's not a very nice place to be. No. I ended up at the cheese table with little blocks of cheese just chomping down.
That sounds like an amazing place to be.
That was the place to be because I got trapped in some sort of sexy train of girls, and I was very upset about it. I didn't know how to get out, and it was very hot, and everyone kicks their shoes off, and everyone's wearing no clothes, and they're rubbing on each other, and I was like, I don't know what
to the cheese!
they're rubbing on each other, the Savage Garden.
Oh, God. There was like a light-up floor, and...
What was the Savage Garden song?
I want to stand with you on a
mountain. I want to stand with you on a mountain.
No, it was...
I'll fly with you on a plane.
I'm going to swim with you in the ocean.
Dirt! It's like just referencing things that
rainbows
people know.
Rainbows of love.
Rainbows and toast and horses and cats.
All right, fine. I'm bringing it up.
You're going to bring up the Savage Garden?
I have to find my iTunes.
Airburners.
Let's find out where they are now.
I would like to hear that cover by KK Slider. Anyone, guys?
Oh, God. I love me some KK Slider.
Savage Garden. All right. iTunes. Tell me what is their most popular song.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's the one that we just sang.
This is their album. Remember that cover? I remember that cover.
No, I don't remember that cover.
I don't remember that.
I remember the cover.
Why do you remember that cover? Yeah,
seriously, as we turn. Who was weird in high school now, bitch?
I don't know what song it is because I can't. That's the.
How do you know that, Kyle?
It's getting weird.
Oh yeah, this is their faster song. Remember?
I always thought this was Ace of Base.
Oh.
I always thought it was NXS.
No.
Ooh.
Sending on a mountain.
Ooh, I gotta find you. It's always weird when you put an ah at the end of a word
What's
that doesn't
that?
Normally have an ah.
Ooh,
is it truly madly deeply? Is that the slow one? Yeah.
That was basically just that other song
it's
at half speed.
Right?
Yeah.
Guys, we're going to do a little double duty. Pro Tools can just slow the song down.
It's the same song.
Yeah. Now play the other one again. Got that tune.
Ooh, mountain you.
I
wanna pretend. Oh yeah, that's kind of it. You just kind of gotta go.
I feel like there's like a rap or something in the middle of it.
No.
Right on cue, Matt.
Oh my God.
Is this a rap, Matt? I'm not sure this is a rap.
I don't
it's a
remember.
Rant.
I'm
the kind of person.
I'm the kind of person who likes to ride on my mountains and I ride about the moon and
I love
ride
nachos and my kittens.
Kitten nachos are the best.
I guess I only had three albums.
What?
October 28th, 1999, they released what looks like their second album. And that the album we were just listening to, those two songs,
that was their debut.
April 14th, 1997.
I think we all remember where we were that day when that came out. Welcome to Savage Chat.
I remember where I was that day.
Day 4000, still not back together yet, but we're holding out hope.
I'm pretty sure.
Send us your calls, send us your mountain drawings. Oh my God.
Oh,
it's
man.
like their songs sound like child drawings.
The year.
It's like if a child were to describe his own drawing.
Yeah.
Well, I want to stand with you on a mountain, and
yeah.
I want to.
Ooh, I want. I can't want a kid. No, I want to.
Savage Garden.
Ooh,
The moon. Yay!
Guys, I'm really glad we rediscovered Savage Garden.
Yeah.
You know what's going to fucking happen is it always happens. As soon as you start shitting on something, someone...
It's going to be an Urban Outfitters. Damn it!
Let's hear it.
Everyone in Silver Lake's going to love it. Damn it!
What's going to happen is you'll get a tweet like, hey, I was in Savage Garden. I'm a big fan. I'm sorry you didn't like our stuff. Oh, you turned out to be nice.
Has someone from the Dave Matthews Band tweeted you that?
No. No, but one time on when I was doing Attack of the Show, I made fun of Blink 182, and I referred to their music as tattle rock because everything sounded like, I'm gonna tell on you. Yeah. And so I did that. And then Mark Hoppus tweeted me. He was like, oh, I'm actually a fan of your work. And I was like, and he turned out to be so nice. He invited me to a Blink 182 show. They're super nice guys. Tom LaBonge and I
like, now
chatted.
I just had the tattling live.
Now I just felt like a dick. And then I just felt like a dick.
That's how you would feel if we ever got the Dave Matthews Band on the podcast.
No, we don't make fun of the Dave Matthews Band. We make fun of your obsession with them.
I actually don't think
that
my aunt only wears Dave Matthews Band t-shirts.
Your aunt is a wonderful woman.
Yeah. It's all that.
When we let her out.
She loves it, and for the whole time.
Yeah.
So you do really love it?
Yeah, no, I mean, I've been
yeah, no, I mean,
since I was 10. So
I like a lot of the same things from when I was 10.
I like
the Smurfs. And why are there gray Smurfs on the posters?
I don't know. It's really I'm hoping it's a genetic Gargamel
hey,
situation.
So what,
where
Britney Spears has a song
evil
for Smurfs?
Yeah, she does have a
why
song.
Why? Because her voice sounds like one?
Why? It was so earnest. Why?
But why would they do that?
But why? Why do you think they would do that?
I don't understand.
Yeah, the lyrics of the song are very.
Yeah, what do you sing about? I'm Smurfy.
No, it's essentially like talking about how like she's gonna take someone back to her room and fuck them like crazy.
Is
what?
It?
Yeah,
no.
I'm telling you, that's the lyrics to the song are insane, and I'm like, I can't believe it.
I'm not a Smurfy Smurf.
I'm not that Smurfy now. Oh, no.
Done. Why did she bother writing?
Guys, okay, we can't get Brittany to come in. We're just going to put the word Smurfy at random places through.
We'll do a whole album
what
of
was that
Smurf
song?
Remix.
I'm not. What
that
was that
innocent,
song?
But I'm not that Smurf.
What?
I'm not a Smurf.
What was that song?
But I'm
though
a woman.
No, but what was the other song? I'm not.
She had a lot of hits.
No, but the
I'm
one is I'm not
Smurf
that innocent.
For you.
Yeah, here's the,
it could be.
The
I mean,
song.
She's got a lot of opportunities.
The song
did
is
you
called
just replace Smurf? You replaced Slave with Smurf.
Yeah. Where I come from, S stands for Smurf.
When Lincoln freed the Smurfs and ended Smurfery, it was really an important time.
It was a big time. I think we remember where we were then.
The song is called Ooh La La.
Okay.
Parentheses.
Ooh, it's a cover of the Savage Garden.
Garden song. Smurfage Garden.
Oh, no. That's where they've been. Thank God.
This is Britney Spears.
Show me what you got, Smurfs. Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Heartbeat. Oh. I think we all know what she means when she says be my ooh la la.
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
oh.
The good thing
this
is that
it could have very easily been come baby come with me and be my lollipop.
Hey, is anyone else thinking how much they miss Savage Garden right now?
I miss Savage Garden so much. That's so scary to me, that song.
Yeah, that's not a...
That's not like
I don't
weird
like it when people say baby and they sound like a baby.
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 Baby. Why
no,
is,
baby.
Can I say, why is baby talk a sexual thing? Is that, why is
that's
that,
creepy.
Doesn't seem weird?
It's creepy.
I don't know, try it. Try it while I play this.
Hi, baby. Baby, I want to stay with you on a mountain. I want to bathe with you on the sand.
I just pooped. I just pooped. One step too far.
No. Wipe me.
Well, one step too far.
No, it's not good. Unless you're an adult baby.
Wipe
you don't
me.
You don't like that one.
An adult baby. Hey, you got one of them adult babies?
Oh, they God.
They have a song called Santa Monica.
I want to go to the Third Street Promenade. Not that different.
I'm anyone, I'm anything, I'm what I want to be.
Don't go west of the 405. The traffic's really bad now. Go to Norm's on Pico. Just all weird local references.
I love it. Oh, God. Ooh, checking out the vases at the Getty Villa. a beautiful reference.
That was pretty savage of you.
Go to REI.
Maybe this is where the money is. We become a Savage Garden cover band, like wedding band. We
become a Savage Garden cover band.
All right, guys.
And cover 22 songs.
That's right. We'll call ourselves Mountain Standers. Because we're just standing on mountains.
And bathing in the ocean.
Instead of Savage Garden, we got to call it like Tame Yard.
Oh, cool.
Tame Yard.
Tame Yard.
That's not bad.
Right?
That's not bad. I like
that's
it.
Like North Face suing a company that another company that started South Butt.
I love it.
As a response to North Face.
Was that other company? Was the other company started by Mad Magazine?
I don't know.
Yeah, Alfred E. Newman founded.
These are the things that you learn on Reddit.
That's it. Oh, the best.
We've all learned so much from Reddit.
Are you public on Reddit? Do you know? Are you yourself on Reddit?
I am myself. I'm Tom Tom Club, but like Star Wars Tom Tom Club.
That's awesome.
Tom Tom.
Your Tauntaun Club?
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking rad.
Thank you. I can't. It was my boyfriend came up with that one. I can't take credit for it. He was.
Fuck,
on
he's
it.
Not here. Take credit. What
I'm
are you talking about?
Right. He's too. It's too good. It was too.
He's
good.
He's probably at home waiting for it to get dark enough to use his projector.
Yeah, he is. That's the whole thing. Well, now we have a puppy, so we wake up early, and now it takes even longer for it to get dark. Whatever. No.
Puppy, you're ruining movie time.
Puppy.
What are your favorite subreddits?
Ooh. I was really fascinated for a while with toaster rights. I thought that was just the weirdest one because it's just people that love toasters and are just like, for whatever reason, think it's fun every so often to rally together like, and toasters! And then it kind of dies for a while. I'm like, and then there's still toasters! And I also was so obsessed with the fresco Jesus that, well, they called they had it monkey Jesus, but I mean, I just was crazy about it. It was everywhere for me and my boyfriend thought it was so just rude of me to be obsessed with it. He's like, this is someone's art. How would you like it if someone taped over one of your movies? Or what if someone recorded over one of my movies? I was like, I mean, if it looked like that, then I think it's okay. I love it.
Deserve the Tauntaun Club name.
Yeah. Hang on. What was he mad at? Was he mad at the woman for trying to restore it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, she tried.
I mean, she tried, she did, and that's her thing as an artist, and that's what was my argument. I was like, she's an artist. She did her interpretation of it, and that's great.
I mean,
it's bringing a lot of attention to Jesus that we didn't once have.
Certainly, like, spread farther across the globe than that painting would have had it been restored correctly.
What if there's someone...
Oh, and that church made so much money, too. They started charging people money to come. It was like the church was packed of people coming to see this thing.
Oh, my God. Where is it? It's in Spain?
It's in... No, I don't think it's in Spain. Maybe... Actually, you know what? Maybe it is.
What I'm saying is let's go.
I think we gotta go.
Yeah.
We're gonna go. My favorite subreddits are pics and video...
Of puppies. I love... I also, every so often, I do need the explain to me like I'm five. Like, when the whole prism thing first happened, I was like, okay, I need to go on that one.
And then, find out.
Yes, and they explained it to me like I was five, and it was great.
I'm really turned on right now. Listening about prism like baby talk. I like Fifth World Problems, I think, is a fucking awesome subreddit.
Oh, I haven't been to that one.
It's just these, essentially, like, these weird sort of alien... but contemporary conundrums. It's hilarious. Fifth World Problems. You should check it out.
I like Reddit / guitar. LA. That's
cool. LA. You know, I love hearing about
that. What's on Reddit / guitar, Matthew?
A lot of people talking about gear, you know? Like, they get a new guitar. They'll be like, check out my new gear. And then you look at a picture of a guitar. And...
That's actually where I do a lot of research for jobs. I mean, when I'm about to play a character or something, like I did a movie where I... was I play a social worker, and it's fascinating because so many people, they do AMAs that are so insightful, and you get to communicate with and hear firsthand experiences of things. Those I like AMAs a lot. I think they're really interesting.
You must have done.
I did one, and it was pretty fun. Except for the people are really funny on that, and sometimes like like there was a couple of people like, oh, I wish this was a porn star.
Well, then why would you even go on to a...
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, why do you take the time?
Do you think your name sounds like a porn star, Brie
Larson? I think
there's
another porn star that is named Brie, but I don't know. I always feel weird. It's fine for other people when they're like, hi, I'm blah, blah, blah. I'm an actor and, like Aisha Taylor was on and she was like, I'm a TV host and blah, blah, blah. I was like, I just, for whatever reason, don't feel comfortable doing that. So I just said, I'm Brie Larson, ask me anything, because I figure if you know my name, you'll want to ask me a question if you care. Otherwise, you'll just skip on right by this and that's just fine with me.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's going to be like, who's Brie Larson? Oh, she's an actress. I got to hear what she's going to say. You know, it's like, no one.
What's it like acting?
What's your favorite movie?
What are movies? Do you like the moon?
Do you do a lot of takes?
Can I stand with you on a mountain?
What's a take like?
What's a key grip do?
I want to imagine the members of Savage Garden are just like trolling Reddit going, can I stand with you on a mountain? every AMA.
That's going to be, no, that's in the Savage Garden subreddit where the first question is, can I stand with you on a mountain?
I'm going to check Reddit.
Okay,
right,
here's
now
a couple Fifth World Problems ones.
Okay, cool.
I transcended the ethereal plane again, only to find Cthulhu mutilated by an anthropomorphic tooth.
Oh, this is a great one.
A clerical error, this is another one. A clerical error I made gained sentience, and now I don't know if I can bring myself to correct it.
I don't think I knew half of the words that you just said.
I became so depressed that I collapsed under my own gravity, and now I'm even more depressed because now I'm a black hole.
These people are funny.
My girlfriend told me the world does not revolve around me, and then the earth stopped spinning. Now there are no longer days and nights. How do I make it spin again? And then people answer them.
Okay, there is an r/Savage Garden.
Oh, that's great.
But it is about gardening hacks.
Oh. Oh, no.
If you want to grow lilacs on a mountaintop, you can't stand on them. Is there any... You should. You know what? You've got to post in there and be like, hey, guys, when's Tame Yard performing? Oh, or find out when they're getting back together. You should be the guy that trolls the Savage Garden subreddit by continually asking when Savage Garden's going
to
get back together.
Is that like
together.
A farm-to-table restaurant? Do they have cashew butter there?
Cashew butter. They have dog butter.
It's a sad subreddit because the most upvotes on a post is 24.
Well, they get to the top pretty easy. Basically, you're guaranteed to get to the top if you if you just post something. And if you don't get to the top,
maybe
you're
we should
feel bad.
Revive it. Yeah. Everyone, let's go.
Yeah, let's do it.
Meet you there. Meet you at Savage Garden.
We'll see you there.
Subreddit.
I created one that got a modicum of traction, but it never really worked out very well, which was basically just ham slide, and then
just
people
ham?
Ham slide. Just the subreddit ham slide, and people would interpret that however they wanted. Like, they would put John Hamm going down a slide, or like a pig.
That's good.
Like a pig going down a slide, or a pig that was shaped like a slide, or a ham. Like, they all the people just interpret it in different ways.
That's fun.
It got a small amount of traction, and then no more ham slide.
Oh.
It's still there, but
it's still, yeah, it never goes away.
Now it's a ghost town.
It never goes away.
They close the copper mines and everyone moves.
Reddit really is just, you can just really go there. I mean, you can just keep going and going. You can't believe that they're like, I think that's why maybe so many people love it so much, because you're like, oh my God, like, you like ham slide too?
And when it works, it's amazing. Like, when it actually works and people are funny and cool and supportive. But then when it just gets trolly, like, it, you know, the bigger ones get trolly, and it's like, ah, come on.
Well, now people are getting so good at being trolls that they'll do like multiple posts and accounts to try and make it all seem like it's one big conspiracy of blah blah blah, and you can't even figure it out anymore. Of like,
or they'll do the ignorant trolling where they fuck up something on purpose, and then other trolls attack that. It's like trolls on trolls.
Trolls,
like,
on trolls on trolls on trolls on trolls.
It's like Blade 2. These vampires feed on vampires. Like, it's a little Guillermo reference. What are you looking up now?
I'm just replying to an email from work.
Why would you do that?
Because it was, I said urgent on it.
Was it actually urgent?
It was come
Quick
up.
Quick question.
The...
What sandwich do you want?
urgent. Matt, do you
urgent,
like me?
I'm in line right now.
Are we friends?
Check yes, check no, yeah.
It was asking me to come up with a top 10 list for some Doctor Who thing.
And did you just come up with the top 10
list
right
now? You already did
it? No, I replied by going, what if I haven't really watched it in about a year and a half?
Okay. All right.
Yeah, because that's, I mean, I wouldn't want to get into that. People are hardcore.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know who they're
going to get
to write
that. People will take you down.
Be true to yourself.
Oh, thanks.
Good shot.
Appreciate it.
I say
that.
Doctor Who?
Right?
What?
Who?
What are you talking about? I don't understand your words right now, Brie. Do you watch any television shows before we wrap it up?
I watch, right now I've been watching, I love Game of Thrones, but I also hate Game of Thrones. I mean, I say that in that I've never cried and gotten so upset over any television show like I do over
any
Game of Thrones.
Any other dragon-based television show?
No.
Not since Pete's Dragon.
Not since, oh God, that used to make me cry too. I watch Game of Thrones and then on the opposite end of the spectrum, I watch Downton Abbey, because on Game of Thrones, I can't they don't care about me. They just do whatever they're going to do on that show, and I end up weeping most of the time or throwing pillows. It's like, there's hell for the Seven Kingdoms! And just crying myself to sleep. And then Downton Abbey, nothing ever really happens. It, like, people go away, and then they're like, oh, no, I was just fine. Like, I was in the war, but I got lost, and now I'm back. And look at how beautiful I look. So I like that on the opposite end of the spectrum. And right now I've been watching the new episodes of Arrested Development.
So great.
So great.
I think I'm six in.
Yeah, I think I'm 10 now.
10 deep.
I think I'm 10 deep, but it's so good. It's so exciting. I love the structure of it.
Method One. Method One is amazing. So many layered. You could watch the series.
Did you get to the and Jeremy Piven?
No, not yet.
I mean, it's so. It's not really. It's not giving anything away for me to say this, but they go to a club, and the club is called And Jeremy Piven, and it's the part in the credits of Entourage because they put his name in the credits. And Jeremy Piven on a club. And so they just replicated that and made that the club that they go to. It's so brilliant. It's so brilliant. That was when I was like,
so
oh
inside.
Shit. Oh shit. They are real. Like every single bit of that show is just so well thought out and so smart.
And it all it's like
everything ties together.
It's like a fucking art project.
Yeah.
Where it's because the first handful of episodes you're like, what
is going on?
It all seems disconnected. And then they just start tying knots and start connecting things. And in the end, it really is like it's like a Rube Goldberg machine.
It's amazing.
Where everything just fucking connects at the end and falls in one thing after another. Oh man,
I don't know how they did it. I don't know. I don't know how they did it, but I absolutely, it's so,
I mean, the planning that it would take.
I feel like they've been writing this just the whole time for years
possible.
Now.
Possible.
I don't know. I can't even wrap my brain around how you do that. Like, how you are able to connect so many things. Because they're so specific. I mean, there are through lines, like, that are through. Imagine that, a through line through the whole thing. that are so specific and small, like down to tiny little things. If someone, you know, sticks a little something in a door and then you see it a couple episodes later and they think that person interprets it as something else and la la la. It's just amazing. I wonder if for people that hadn't watched the show before, though, what they think of it. Because part of the fun, too, is that you know these characters. Like, oh, you know, the gang's back together.
Right.
But for somebody who hasn't seen them before, are you going, what the hell is this?
Well, I don't know why you would watch it if you hadn't watched
for
the first season.
That was my reaction to Steve Holt. What happened?
Oh, I know. I know.
I guess.
You know? And it'll happen to all of us. It's so sad.
Time heals also, all wounds and Portia, ruins things.
Portia de Rossi, I don't know what you did to your face, but
I know.
Let's figure
there's
that
a
out.
Few I mean, there's a few things that are shocking.
Yeah.
There's a few things that are shocking on that show, to say the least.
Yeah.
But some things are the same.
That's true.
You know, David Cross looks the same.
David Cross always looks the same.
Mm-hmm. David Cross has looked the same for about 20 years.
How does he do it?
Well,
he's bald.
He's always had no hair.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I should shave my head now.
Patrick Stewart, too. Look the same for 30 years. You look at Patrick Stewart in Dune, you look at Patrick Stewart now, not that different.
It's amazing.
Yeah. It's because there's no visual reference point to be like, hey, you got, you know.
You don't have that
anymore.
Yeah,
you don't have that thing. You lost that thing. He's still.
Although with Portia de Rossi, you're kind of like, where'd your nose go?
Yeah.
You used to have that thing, and now you don't have it.
Got your nose.
Where'd your nose go?
Literally. I literally have your nose.
Why is there so much more of your lower face?
But I guess women more than men, right? They like start attacking their face in these weird ways.
Yeah, but you look at like Jessica Walter, who looks great.
Dudes
and,
are doing it.
Looks like she didn't.
Dudes do it now.
They do?
Of course they do. The Botox thing is so creepy.
It's so weird because then you can't move your face.
No, I don't know why everyone wants to. It's like there's this sort of it's a drift toward like blow up doll.
Yeah.
Like, everyone ultimately wants to look like a, like, or I don't know if they want to, but they ultimately just end up drifting toward blow-up doll. This is sort of, like, weird, expressionless, like, you know.
Tight.
Yeah.
Tight thing.
Which,
well, I don't know, maybe a couple years from now I'll see you and I'll be like, Chris, why doesn't your face move?
You're
like,
because are you talking about?
No, I'm having a great time. I love myself. I finally love myself.
I forgot to save my game correctly.
It turned out that all of my problems.
I forgot to save my game correctly.
All my problems.
It's great.
in life, I forgot to game save. We're so all on Nintendo program. It turned out that all of the anxiety that I didn't know I had was actually in the nerve ending.
It was actually from the crow's feet. I
had
didn't
them
realize,
removed,
yeah.
And now everything is good.
And
is
my feet.
Cushy.
My actual feet, because they were bothering me too. I just thought they were ugly.
It's
so.
All good.
Everything, yeah, everything's great.
Everything's great.
I've realized because I'm an actor, you just need my head anyway, so I'll just preserve this.
I got Botox in my balls, so those are smooth now. Just
nice.
Orbs.
Oh, no.
Orbs.
Just orbs. Smooth orbs. Yep, just smooth orbs. That's
dream
all
come
it is.
True.
You know that people have that.
People have gone to the doctor for that, for sure.
Of course they have.
Do you have a regular sized?
Orbs.
Orbs.
Do you have wrinkle nut? Well, now we can. Yes, everyone's supposed to have it.
Oh, God.
Basically, as a person gets older, they just. I think balls are essentially the trailer
go.
For what happens in the rest of your life. You're yeah. constantly. It starts
it's
there.
Foreshadowing.
And then it just sort of bleeds out. It just
everything
sort of
becomes
overtakes
balls.
Everything. You just turn into balls as yeah. you get older.
Women do. We all do.
Yeah, we start from the balls. We end up as balls.
Wow. That's so poetic.
Yeah, I'm a
Savage
poet.
Savage Garden.
Yeah, I want it. We've got to get Savage Garden together to be like, we are balls.
We are the balls.
We are the testies.
Oh,
come on, guys. Eighth grade.
Ooh, ah, balls.
Won't you smurf my balls now?
Yeah, we just need another Smurf movie, and we need Savage Garden.
I love it.
And then we've got it billions of dollars. And dogs.
I guess when you think about it, Smurfs always have blue balls. They're never satisfied.
Yeah, they always. Oh, it's so sad. It's so sad.
Well, this, you know, I didn't even talk about Scott Pilgrim.
Was that why I was here?
No, but I wanted
oh,
to
yeah.
mention it, and then
so I was in it.
Great,
and,
perfect. Thank you. That was great.
Yeah, it's based off of the graphic novel.
No, because
and...
you know what happens is that, you know, people are going to go, oh, I can't believe you have Brie Larson. You didn't even talk about Scott Pilgrim. All right, we talked about it.
I yeah. said it.
It was so much more fun to talk about all this
yeah,
other
stuff. Yeah,
isn't
that? Yeah.
Was there anything that you wanted to promote while you were here? Is there something that you...
I mean, I've got a movie coming out. I can't even... My body doesn't even know how to promote a movie. I just... I can talk about balls and Smurfs and the, Savage Garden.
It's sort of like...
Can the, I talk about the movie coming out? Nope.
It's sort of like
and
the gate
And that's why
closing,
I'm not a working actor.
The gate that's like the iron... The door closing at NORAD.
Bro.
Must get words out.
I have a film coming out August 23rd called Short Term 12 in New York and Los Angeles. It's playing in two theaters, so fill it up, please.
Yep. Fill it up.
So if you know any sororities or whatever, just get them all to come or
They're
whatever.
The best audiences. The best. They, you know,
they're on a permanent bachelorette party.
Yeah, they'll have a great time.
You know what's
movie.
Funny is that I would be irritated watching someone text during a movie, but it'd be oddly refreshing to see you taking notes.
I do take notes. I mean, I was at like a comedy show yesterday and I had my notebook out and I was like, I don't know what people think. If people are like, oh, look at that weirdo. Or if like, oh, that's
well, she's stealing jokes? She's writing down jokes for people?
Yeah. I just have thoughts. I don't know. It's like, what else are you going to do when you're around a bunch of people? And I was sitting there alone. You just observe people. You write stuff down. You make diagrams. Doesn't everyone do that?
Well, I'm glad that
gotta do a Venn diagram.
Theaters are your office.
Yeah.
Any theater. Any theater is the office that you go to work.
Yes, life is my office.
Life is your office.
Yeah.
Brie Larson, thank you. Are you on Twitter?
No, I don't have any of those.
You don't have any of those? You're just on Reddit as Tauntaun Club.
Yeah.
All right.
That's it.
Whose phone is going up?
I don't know. Maybe it's mine.
Oh. It's mine.
You have two phones?
Yes. Maybe I do.
This one connects him to Animal Crossing.
And this one?
One's a work phone. One's a...
I think that makes sense. One's your friends and one's your friends.
And my friends.
My friends.
One's more of a work phone. And
I get
one's
that.
One's more of a personal phone.
I get that.
One phone number only three people have. And I don't know. I
think that makes sense.
And I also like a lot of, I like, you see, I fucking littered with devices.
Yeah, you got lots of devices.
And this space bag has also a laptop.
Whoa! That looks like a pizza. Like you can, does that hold?
Oh, like a pizza
heat?
Bag.
Yeah, like holds heat.
Probably not. I probably shouldn't try
fashion.
That.
Yeah. You're just so fashion.
Yeah, heat's the new black. heat bags are the new black.
Wow, that is amazing, though. It looks like space.
It does look like space. Yeah, that's why I bought it. And then I thought it'd be. Really
oh, you
cool.
paid for that. That's interesting.
Wait a minute. I don't understand. It sounds like you're shitting on my awesome bag.
I just figured that was.
But
like,
it's so noisy.
Wow.
It's like duct tape.
Oh, wow. It's that made out of recycled materials? No, it's just fashion.
It's it's made out of 60s astronauts.
Wow.
Yep. This is Apollo.
It's cool. It's really cool.
Apollo 7.
And it's got the etchings of like sacred geometry on it. That's pretty cool.
That's right. Mm. Could it be Apollo 7?
Yeah, it could be.
Well, there you go then. The expert has weighed in.
Sure. Yeah.
Ding.
Apollo right, 7 just did some.
Let's all high five at the same time. One, two, three. Oh, that was rad.
Oh, that was so stressful.
High five triangle.
Was really so stressed out.
That really made me want to just not wake up with a face tomorrow. I just I don't even want to live anymore.
Well, that's good because you can't save this podcast. Beep, boop, 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 boop.
Ding.
8-bit. Enjoy your burrito.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of Nerdist is brought to you by Carbonite Online Backup. Automatic and secure online backup for your home and small business computer files. Plans starting at $59.99 a year. Get the better backup plan today. Start your free trial at Carbonite.com. Use the offer code Nerdist and get 2 bonus months with purchase.
For more than 2 centuries, the White House has been the stage for some of the most dramatic scenes in American history. Inspired by the hit podcast American History Tellers, Wondery and William Morrow present the new book, The Hidden History of the White House. Each chapter will bring you inside the fierce power struggles, the world-altering decisions, and shocking scandals that have shaped our nation. You'll be there when the very foundations of the White House are laid in 1792, and you'll watch as the British burn it down in 1814. Then you'll hear the intimate conversations between FDR and Winston Churchill as they make plans to defeat Nazi forces in 1941. And you'll be in the Situation Room when President Barack Obama approves the raid to bring down the most infamous terrorist in American history. Pre-order The Hidden History of the White House now in hardcover or digital editions wherever you get your books.